This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
Apple's fourth quarter earnings and revenue fall, but its first quarter revenue outlook beats. Steve Russolillo joins the podcast.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Apple posted its third straight decline in quarterly revenue and profit Tuesday as the company searches for a way to offset slowing sales of its flagship iPhone. The results also marked Apple's first decline in annual revenue and profit since 2001. Let's talk with Steve Russolillo of the Wall Street Journal. Steve, first off, Apple's results were lower because of falling iPhone sales, correct?
Yeah, the iPhone is really the key driver here when we're looking at Apple. When you think of the iPhone alone, it is roughly two-thirds of Apple's revenue at this point. So such a huge driver. Whatever the iPhone does really dictates how Apple's overall results are going to look and arguably how the stock price is going to move.
Now, were analysts and observers looking for anything else in the report besides the iPhone?
Yeah, so, you know, going through the numbers, it's pretty interesting. You look at them, and if you look at them just at face value, they are just incredibly staggering. I mean, $9 billion in net income, $46.9 billion in revenue, $1.67 a share, were the earnings per share, and that was a penny more than analysts were expecting. So profits look good. Revenue basically right in line, maybe just a slight miss there, but their revenue forecast for the upcoming holiday quarter was a lot better than analysts were expecting.
That's right. And that's the key figure for Apple that just about everybody was watching, the forecast for the first quarter, the one that ends in December, and that was bullish. Do they have particularly high hopes for the iPhone 7, especially since obviously Samsung discontinued the rival flagship product, the Galaxy Note 7?
Yeah, so the thing here with the iPhone 7 is that I think people are, or I think analysts are really hoping that Apple will at least just maintain the status quo here. And if they get any bit of a little bump from Samsung users maybe switching over to Apple, that's an extra boost at this point. But really, as long as it's not a disaster, which it does not appear to be a disaster, people just sort of have this assumption and this expectation here that, okay, iPhone 7 sales will probably be fine, not great, but not terrible either. And then this all leads up to 2017. And really that, when people are expecting the next iPhone, I can't believe we're already talking about the next iPhone, but really the one that comes in 2017, that's expected in 2017, that will be the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone's launch. And that one, who knows, you know, what kind of bells and whistles they're going to have, but that one is the one where people are saying, okay, Apple needs another game changer, and maybe that one will be it.
This latest revenue result, the one that was just released, it was too early to properly calculate any sales from the iPhone 7, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, usually it comes out to about two-thirds. Apple doesn't necessarily break those out specifically, but yeah, about two-thirds. But I think what's also interesting here, too, is if you look at just how the stock price is reacting to the earnings here. So right after the report hit, which is 4:30 New York time, stock went up about almost 3%.
Yeah.
So there was sort of this assumption that, oh, you know, there's some relief. The results were decent, pretty in line, good outlook. And then just a few minutes later, you saw it turn and the stock actually went down in the after hours trading. Now, a couple things in mind here. One is that this is late trading. This is after hours trading. So this is not during the regular cash trading session, and so you'll tend to get a little bit more volatile moves here, and these aren't necessarily indicative of how the stock is going to open the next day.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, though, still pretty interesting here to see that the stock comes down on what on the face of it seem to be some pretty decent results. One thing to keep in mind is that this stock had a huge move leading up into this report. So just from their previous report in July till this week, the stock was up more than 25%. Now, some of that was a little bit of a relief rally because the stock had been pressured for so much for so long. So a little bit of a relief rally heading into this. And now, you know, the stock's just maybe potentially taking a little bit of a breather. Even if it does, though, personally, I think this still has more room to run.
And Steve, the revenue forecast, the one that was bullish, the revenue, if achieved, Would that mark a rise in revenue from the previous quarter?
Yes. Yeah, so what's so really
would,
yes. So
it would break the streak.
It would break the streak. So what's interesting is there's a couple of streaks here. One is this is now the third straight quarter that revenue has fallen.
Yeah.
And so when you add it all up, this is now the first year that Apple is reporting a decline in revenue since 2001. So I have some stats for you on that. It's mm-hmm. pretty interesting. 14 straight years of revenue growth. So let's go back in time for a second. It's 2001. This is just as they're releasing the iPod.
Yeah.
So not the iPhone, not the iPad, but just as they're releasing the iPod, they had about $5 billion in revenue at that point. That was when the Mac was really their flagship product at that point.
Yeah.
So if you fast forward 14 years, their revenue has surged more than 40 times over that time horizon.
It's incredible.
And so now the decline in revenue, the decline in revenue this year compared to last year, just the decline alone is more than triple what Apple's actual revenue was 14 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, these numbers are just – I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, what does that even mean? Like, I can't even really fathom what these numbers are. Like, it's just – it's truly astonishing.
It's so, very hard to grasp.
It's very hard to grasp. So – but as we're talking about the Macs, though, it's interesting. Apple is going to have an event later this week where they're going to refresh their Mac line. And if you look at Mac sales, that's the one thing that they've been slowing for a little bit now. And I think there was some hope in this quarter, this just completed quarter, that maybe Mac would get a little bit of a boost from the back to school season, and it didn't. So it will be interesting to see what sort of new upgrades or product refreshes that they have within the Mac line and how well that may or may not be received in the marketplace.
Right. Do you think too much attention is being paid to the iPhone and not enough to these other products?
Well, by investors at least, I mean, it definitely makes sense because of how big the iPhone has become compared to all these other products. And,
right.
You know, I was talking to a colleague about this the other day, and it's just, you know, when people talk about what the new blockbuster product is going to be, what's the next iPhone, what are they going to do? Well, that's like really an unrealistic expectation there because, you know, the iPhone was just such an incredible product, and that was on the heels of the iPod, which also was a revolutionary product. So to think that a company can keep revolutionizing all these different categories is, I don't know that it's necessarily realistic. And so the idea is maybe they won't revolutionize something, but you know, they could still have a stellar product. The Apple Watch is a pretty decent product. Might not be the game-changing product that people have grown accustomed to, but I guess when you become as successful as Apple has become, these are the expectations that you have to
face.
Obviously,
Apple has set the bar very high.
Exactly.
Do you think the expectations for Apple are too high?
Well, so long-term, like long term, years into the future, absolutely. Because I just don't think it's realistic to think that they will come up with more products that are going to revolutionize our lives the way that these have. It's just such a high bar to face. Short term, at least when you're looking at the stock price and how investors and analysts view this thing, I'd argue that actually the opposite is happening, that the bar has actually been set really, really low for Apple.
Really?
The growth rate, people know that the growth rate is slowing. And so people know that Apple is not going to grow as quickly as it did in the past. That said, though, people are expecting – analysts have these really, really – you know, we knew that this quarter this year of revenue was going to slow from the prior year. We knew that was going to happen, but it didn't happen as drastically as some people initially anticipated. So the short-term expectations are very volatile for Apple, and I would argue the bar is maybe too low for them.
We're not talking about a company in decline. We're
talking about a company that is maturing.
Yeah.
And so this is what happens. This is just the phase in the business cycle where, you know, at some point you just can't keep growing the way you once did. And this is a topic that people have been talking about Apple for years now. It's just becoming a more mature company. Once it started paying a dividend, once it started buying back all its stock, once its growth rate started slowing, all these are signs of a company that is mature. And for a company this size, geez, the number one market cap by far, number two isn't even close to them at this point. You would think that at some point it's going to become a mature company. And so that's what's happening now.
Wall Street Journal reporter Steve Russolillo, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
And that's this edition of Tech News Briefing. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Love tech? Dig gadgets? Then make Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal a part of your day. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.